Recording.
I'm ready.
Okay, count recording. Us in.
3, 2, 1.
That was good. That was perfect.
Let's go. Nailed it.
Hello, hello, hello. Hokey pokey hi. This is me,
Hokey pokey, hey, Simon.
Simon Palick, and coming at you live with Jacob Ernst. And this is... This Isn't Therapy, the podcast dedicated to dissecting, disseminating all things mental health. No.
Good one. That's funny. In each episode of our very fabulous podcast, we talk about a topic that comes up in therapy. Mm-hmm. And we are really excited to talk about today's topic, which is everything you need to know about boundaries.
Everything.
This is like, yep, this like, is the boundaries podcast.
We are talking about shop. Every single thing. All the I's will be dotted, all the T's will be crossed. Do not do any more research beyond listening to this podcast, because everything you need to know is coming out of our mouths.
Yep. And the other thing too is that the joke writers for our previous episode aren't here today. So it's not going to be an unfortunate wah-wah. Isn't going to be a funny episode. Anyways, today we're talking about boundaries, and you know, so we're going to get into it in just a moment, but, before we begin, we did want to also sort of just let you know, that, you know, boundaries are for everyone. Everyone gets to have boundaries, and we're going to just kind of start by talking about what boundaries are, talk about like what they are, whether or not you need them or not, how you know if they're for you. And then in the second segment, we are going to get right into talking about how to build better boundaries. This is the question, for me, it's a question I get a lot in therapy, but also it's a question I know that is on everyone's lips. Everyone's like, this B word seems to be this word that keeps on floating around our spaces these past couple of years, and have initially, or especially rose to prominence over the course of the pandemic. So we're going to talk about boundaries today, which I am really excited about, because guess what? I'm really good at setting boundaries, in my opinion.
I thought you were going to say, because I have none.
because I have diffuse and loose boundaries.
Yeehaw. No, I'm looking forward to having this conversation. So I think let's start off by talking about, okay, in your medical opinion, in your scientific opinion, what actually is, when we're talking about boundaries, what are we talking about?
Well, in my scientifical medical opinion, you know, I actually, when I think about boundaries, the first thing that I think about, for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason I think about a house. I think about like, you know, that houses have walls, houses have windows, houses have doors, houses have these kind of things and forms and functions that protect us while we're inside of our house.
Okay.
So if you think about like our bodies or ourselves as a house, I really kind of like this notion of what Mark Groves talks about, which says that boundaries are not walls that we put in between one another.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries are ways that we teach people where the doors are. And
oh,
cute, right? Like, isn't that just like quotable and super cute?
Yeah.
And it just sort of speaks to this notion that like a common misconception about boundaries is that people think that boundaries are ways that we keep other people out. And ways that we kind of limit our interactions with other people. But Mark Groves talks about boundaries in the sense that, boundaries are actually ways that we can invite other people into our space and into our lives in a really kind of structured way, but in a way that is intentional, in a way that we can still care for one another, which sort of leads me into a second definition, which I love, which is by Prentice Hemphill. And they refer to boundaries as the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously, which I just think is so powerful.
Yeah, both of these things are very like quotable things you would see, but I really liked your house metaphor. That one made sense to me. Like it's not about building up an impenetrable fortress. It's, I really like that door metaphor. Question, is Mark Groves and Prentice someone we should know about? Are they writers or what? Who are they?
I'm not like specific on, you know, the ins and outs of both of their lives. These are just,
oh, you're not. This isn't a podcast about Mark Groves.
I'm not sure specifically how they practice their work, but I mean, I know them to be writers. These are both people who I read a lot of. And so more than just like a few lines of their quotes, they are people who do teach us about boundaries. Nedra Glover Tawab is another person who I love. And if you follow her on social media, she's like the boundaries queen, the boundaries goddess. Super in love with the way that she talks about boundaries. She's a social worker also, so shout out.
Okay.
And really, really for me, like sort of the summary of all these, you know, whatever people have to say about boundaries and whatever analogies that we can make, is the common notion that boundaries help us access our needs. Boundaries are a really reliable form of self-care, and they help us get our needs met. And I know people don't really refer to boundaries as self-care often, at least from what I've been reading, and also don't really refer to them as ways that we get our needs met. But that's just sort of like how I sort of strip it down and kind of read into it. Which is to sort of suggest that we have unmet needs as people, and boundaries are an actionable strategy, a practical solution for how we can get those needs met.
Okay. This is all very interesting. Let's let's jump right in, because I think before we even have that conversation, I think we need to know what do boundaries, or like types of boundaries, and what do they look like and how do they show up. And I'm really interested about your question about like, how do we know if we need boundaries? Because my default is like, doesn't everybody? But more on that later.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Ooh, cliffhanger. And I'm not just talking about your feet hanging out of your shoes. Ow. Okay, go.
Crack.
Cool. And we're back. So, boundaries, where we left off. Tell me, Jakey, why do we need them? What are they? What are they for? We know that they help us access our needs based off what you have said, but I kind of want to know, can you kind of spell it out for me? What are the different types of boundaries? Because I want to get to that question about how do we know if we need boundaries?
Actually, well, if we start with it, I think I can really sort of sum it up in one sentence.
Oh, can you?
Which is that if your needs are being met in relationships, then you likely don't need boundaries. If your needs are not being met in relationships, then boundaries are one way that you can get your needs met.
Oh.
So I hear from people all the time when they're kind of like, well, I don't need boundaries, or I don't like boundaries. I don't like how they make me feel. I don't like how they make other people feel. So again, boundaries are not supposed to be a fortress. They're not designed to keep other people out of your life. Rather, boundaries are ways you get your needs met. So if your needs are being met in relationships, that's probably a good sign that you don't need to probably put some more sanctions or force, you know, any kind of new parameters or rules or limitations in place.
Right. So, and so those folks that are living within a relationship that both of your needs are being met, you could argue that they are implementing some sort of boundaries. I don't know how do you walk through the world not having any form of boundaries? I don't know what that looks like, and still maintain that your needs are being met. I don't know how that works.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really great distinction. So I would say that probably falls into the category of proactive boundaries. You do proactive boundary setting when your needs are not being met. So you're exactly correct, which is that if you feel like boundaries aren't for you, it's likely the case that you already have some sort of boundary system in place.
Amazing.
And so just like a really practical example, and if we kind of extract it from relationships for a second, let's say, for example, like you're a teacher and you're in gym class and you're setting up a game of dodgeball and someone throws the ball way too hard. Someone gets hurt, right? A way that you're going to set a boundary is you're going to say, we're actually just going to throw light speed. It's not going to be fast, right? So we're always sort of setting boundaries when we're trying to keep kids safe. Parents are setting boundaries constantly.
Right.
I like to think of boundaries are just sort of setting the guidelines, just sort of setting the parameters, setting the limitations for what is okay and what is not okay. And so personal boundaries is just an instruction for other people. This is what's okay with me, and this is what's not okay with me.
Okay, let's go into the different types of boundaries, because I think we're
Let's do it.
Let's dive in, because you're dipping your toe, and I want more.
Let's do it. So this sort of a framework that we're gonna kind of sink into a little bit is just this is my own framework. This is from like I'm kind of pulling and drawing on the literature and the research, but these are the five types of boundaries that I classify for my clients, and this is for people that I work with. So there are five types of boundaries. The first one is mental. Second, physical. We have emotional boundaries is the third one. We have material boundaries, and we also have quality of life boundaries. So over this next little bit, we're just going to kind of unpack some of them. And so Simon, why don't you just ask questions after? I'm just curious like how they sort of sit for you.
No.
So that's a boundary.
That's a boundary.
You Ooh. Said a boundary. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, go. So and I guess here's the other misconception. People think that boundary setting is just telling people no. But we're going to go into right here with these next five types of boundaries of how that's not just the case. It's more than just saying no.
Cool.
So mental boundaries. Mm-hmm. Mental boundaries are really about the freedom to have your own thoughts, your own beliefs, your own values, your own opinions. So an example of that is, thank you for sharing, Simon. You and I actually disagree on that. That's a mental boundary that I've placed between us. So it says, thank you for sharing. I don't agree with you. Or actually, I see it different. That's a mental boundary.
Oh my God. But like, come on. How do you... Oh. I hear that. I don't know why I got so triggered, but like I hear that and I'm like, well, at what point do you have to sort of say like, I appreciate you saying that you disagree, but then when do you make room for there to be dialogue or growth or for your opinion to be changed if you're making, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And you know, one of the biggest, I would say the traps in the boundary setting kind of realm is that oftentimes people use it to bully their way into getting some time alone or bullying their way into like having their position asserted further. And so this is one of the ways that boundaries can be really harmful and people can be pretty harmful in the name of boundaries, right? And sort of say like, well, I just get to believe what I believe and you're over there on your little island. And so you're going to go live there and I'm going to be over here. So if we kind of refer back to some of the relationship stuff we've talked about in the past, like it can get really critical. It can get really contemptuous. It can get really sort of displacing in relationships. And so it doesn't absolve you from any form of like relationality in relationships.
Okay, there we
go. It doesn't absolve you from like practicing like love and care and connection, right? And this isn't a way that we just like put our foot down to assert ourselves and say, well, we disagree. So that's that on that.
Yeah.
Period, pause, end of sentence.
I see. Okay. It's a very fine line and I don't think a lot of us practice it. I think a lot of us do exactly what you said, which is like, I disagree with that. Let's agree to disagree. And it's like, well, are you using that as a tool to assert yourself, like you said, to win an argument? Right? Or are you actually using it to sort of like protect yourself, to access a little bit of self-care, to actually be aligned with your virtues and your ethics? That's so like nuanced and juicy. Like I don't think
it is
in the general public. Like I don't see those interactions happening day to day. But interesting. That's an interesting thing that you talk about that.
If we take a step back to and zoom out, these five types of boundaries are just ways to give us more language, right? To do the really messy work of relationships.
Right.
This is just really to sort of say that these are like valid boundaries that people can set with people when like, you know, people are setting mental boundaries all the time, all day, right? And let's say like a judgment, a criticism can still possibly be a mental boundary. And so just because you're setting a boundary doesn't mean that you are right. It doesn't mean that you're doing it correctly. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, you're holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we still also have to be in community and in relationship with other people, right?
Right.
So this isn't the one-way ticket to your cabin in the woods, you know? We still have to practice relationships with others.
Okay.
And so speaking of that, you know, the next type of boundary is physical boundaries. So this is how we choose to engage with one another. And we do that through setting boundaries of proximity, touch, and intimacy, right? So this is sort of like, this is my bubble and that's your bubble. A physical boundary is like, I don't want to be touched in that way. Thank you.
Okay.
Or I don't appreciate comments about my appearance. That's a way that we set a physical boundary with another person.
Is a way to also set like a physical boundary it's a lot of like, I don't write statements. And all of that seems pretty clean and clear and under control. Like, I understand that. Is another way of setting like a physical boundary to be like, I do like to be touched this way. I do. Okay. Like, I love it when you hug me after we have a disagreement.
That's it. Yes, exactly. Okay. So think of it as like the playbook, right? This is sort of the roadmap. This is the instruction manual for this is how I want to be loved. This is how I want to be cared for. And this is how I want to be touched, or this is how I want you to engage in me in my physical space.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty, I want to say obvious, but I think we've also done a lot of thinking as a world about this, just in terms of like consent culture and the Me Too movement and healthy and safe touch, like all that kind of thing. So this is that kind of realm in terms of the physical boundaries. The next one is emotional boundaries. So this is about setting firm guidelines about how we wish to be treated and how we want to feel with one another. So in another example.
Yeah. That one sounds tricky.
Holy. This is very tricky. And this goes back to the mental boundaries, right? Because it's kind of the same opposite side of the same coin in many ways. And so examples of this is something like, please don't speak to me that way. Something like, this isn't a topic that I want to discuss with you right now. It makes me really overwhelmed.
I can see it in such like a very, I don't know if pathological is the right way of saying it, but like you can see how this makes sense with those examples. But sort of my same questioning around like the mental boundaries, right? You can also see where these situations kind of come up, or these like emotional boundaries are like said or used to sort of assert dominance. But so my question to you about this one then is like, in order to set a firm guideline about how we want to be treated and how we feel, what if we don't know how we want to be treated? What if we don't know how we want to feel in that situation? Like, is there a, it almost feels like you need to know what you want in order to protect it or assert it or set that boundary. So what do you do when you don't know? And for like emotional, for example, for the emotional boundary, what are you supposed to do?
I would say that more than that, you also need to have a shared language, right? And for boundary setting in general, this is not often part of our collective dialogue, conversation, and shared language. This is a new language. It's like learning a new language almost, right? And so putting words to your feelings is really hard, regardless of boundaries that you're setting. Putting new language to like how you're thinking is really challenging for a lot of people. And so again, it is a new language. And so in terms of like, you know, coming at this with an open mind, or maybe strategically, or even with an open heart for all the feelers out there, if you're setting emotional boundaries with people, I often make a distinction between two things, which is assertiveness and aggressiveness. When you're being assertive, you are telling people what you need, with a little bit of a force, or like a little bit of like an oomph behind it.
Right.
When you're acting off of aggression, you're using that as a tool to dominate or to harm somebody else. And so that's sort of, for me, the distinction, right? Is the spectrum of, did you say that assertively because that's what you need? Or did you say it aggressively because you're trying to control the situation or trying to control me?
Oh man. Yeah.
And that is, wow, is that a can of worms in and of itself too?
Yeah, right? I was going to say, I wish we had all the time in the world. This could be a 4-hour podcast. Why not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be setting a time boundary and say that I don't have 4 hours. But
you can see how there's a lot of things that kind of go hand in hand with these things. And I think that's kind of like the overall theme with a lot of the episodes that we talk about. Like, again, none of this, we joked off the top that like, this is your take. This is everything you ever need to know about boundaries. And it's not like the reality is that there is so much things that's connected to other things. I hear you talking about boundaries. I go back to your, what's that thing you do? That chart thing that you developed, the one about needs, accessing needs and stuff, like the way that we find safety, routes to safety. your routes mm-hmm. to safety. Like, mm-hmm. I hear elements of that in this. I hear even just the way that we talked about the relationship episode, right? About the way that we're in relation to people and contempt and all of these things. Like, just making an observation, but it feels as though, again, this doesn't exist in a silo and we're just kind of talking about it just to provide language.
Oh, yes. This is all connected, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking about the last two that we haven't got a chance to unpack yet, and I'm going to suggest we just take a little quick break, because when we come back, I actually think these two will give us a really rich discussion for the latter portion of this episode.
Okay, I love that. Pee break.
Well, and that was the most delicious pee break I've ever had. So,
what color was it? No, just kidding. I'm setting a boundary.
So I'm setting a boundary.
Tell me about the last two boundaries, and then let's get into boundary building. Why is it so hard to set boundaries? All that fun stuff.
I actually think the last two really sort of highlight this notion of why it's so hard and why it's so challenging. So that's why I wanted to save it. But the fourth type of boundary is material boundaries. These are our boundaries that we set around our possessions, or how or when they can be used and how they should be treated.
Right.
So an example, parents will relate to this one, something like my car cannot be used after 8 p.m.
Why?
That would be, would be a material boundary, right? Another is if you say to your friend or to a family member, I'd prefer it if you wore your own clothes.
Okay.
That's a way that we set limits, we set boundaries, we set the instructions for how we wish to be treated and how we wish for other people to use our things, right? Yeah.
Oh my God, you can see like the flack there. You can see it like right off the bat. You can be like, why are you being so possessive? Like, I thought we were brothers and sisters. Like, why can't we share? Right? Like you can really hear the rebuttals and why I could imagine why it's so difficult to set these boundaries. Not imagine, I know why.
Totally. And this is why I wanted to save it for this conversation around like why it's so hard, right? Because you can see the script on the wall. You can see it all written before you. And I think it's actually especially true for the fifth one, which is the last type of boundary, and what I call quality of life boundaries. These are boundaries around how we spend our time, our money, and our energy. This includes like your downtime, your work time, your routines, the favors that you do for other people, how you set your calendar, mm-hmm. how you use your free labor, how you spend your finances, how you budget your money. So practically speaking, these are some examples. Something as simple as, no, I don't have time to do that. No, right. Not with an apology, right? A very firm statement, an assertive statement of, I don't have time to do that. Or I'll email you when I can get to that.
Mm.
Or another example being, no, I can't come to the party. Or if you're going to be late, please let me know.
Could it also be something like, I imagine boundaries can kind of have like concessions in them too, right? Like, is that true? Could you do something like, instead of no, I can't come to the party, could it be, I'm only going to be there for an hour and then I have to go?
Absolutely.
Is that also okay? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. So in that sense, it totally speaks to needs, right? And in addition to needs, it speaks to our capacity. It speaks to our bandwidth. It speaks to how we want to spend our time and energy.
Right.
So that's a quality of life boundary. And so I think these last two really sort of highlight the sort of notion that some of the reasons why boundary building is so hard to do. And it's because it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, it's stressful. For a lot of people, it can be also anxiety producing.
Right.
You know, we're afraid of making other people feel bad. And so I want to kind of unpack some of the number one reasons like why we don't set boundaries.
Cool.
And why, actually, if I kind of scale back for a second, one of the most common things that sort of happens in this realm of sort of boundary setting is these people sort of saying, like, I know that I just want to tell them that, no, I can't do it. or I want to sell them, like, I'm sorry, I'm not available to come to the party.
Right.
And usually my response is, well, the good news is that you already have the language. You already have everything you need to say. It sounds like there's just something that's getting in the way of saying what you need to say. And so when we're unpacking what makes it hard to say what you need to say, some of the most common reasons are things like being afraid of what other people may think of us, right? Or assuming that other people are going to get mad at us, or believing that what we have to assert is not important. Sometimes we also do it to avoid conflict.
Okay, general question here. Of these things just feel very universal. So I understand this is like a general question, but why is it so ingrained in our culture that we assume by saying, no, I don't want to do this, or yes, I want to do it, but this is how I want to do it. Why are we worried about getting people mad? Or why are we worried about a fear of being assumed selfish? Like, why is that ingrained? Because I viscerally feel these things too, and I'm sure you do too as well.
Yeah, I completely, 1,000% do. And you know, it's actually, there's a primitive reason actually to it. There's a survival component.
Oh, it always comes back to that.
It totally does. And let me explain it. So like it goes back to like in-group versus out-group sort of mentality, right? So when you're in the cave, if there is a threat of eviction or if there's a threat of being rejected from the group, that immediately produces this sense of shame, anxiety, panic, and fear that sort of says, well, if I'm kicked out, then I'll be left alone. I'll be all by myself.
Right.
And so if, for example, I go to my partner and I sort of say, hey, you said this thing and it really disappointed me, that leaves me feeling vulnerable from a survival standpoint. And it also leaves him feeling vulnerable from a survival standpoint too, being like, oh no, is Jake going to release me or kick me out of my relationship? And it also leaves me feeling like, oh my goodness, I have to say this like really difficult thing and bring it up. And it leaves me vulnerable, like let's say, for example, as someone who also may be feeling alone in my feelings. So it's it goes back to this notion of we need to stay connected and we need to stay socially together. But a lot of the challenge is the negotiation of our like contemporary needs, meaning like for this day and age, a lot of the, you know, there's no threat of us being kicked out of our relationship by saying, no, I can't come to your party. Or there's no threat of like us being defriended by saying like, hey, I'm going to just put a time boundary in place for myself and reply to your text message in an hour.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But you say that. You say that, but I'm also like, well, no. You can see like in the culture, there definitely is that. Again, I'm just speaking generally here, but I definitely have experienced examples of like, you know, friends getting little like, wait, are you mad? Because you didn't reply to a text fast enough you know, not going to a social event multiple times in a row with the same group of friends kind of sets the tone that you're like, oh, are you not part of our friend group anymore? So,
yeah.
Anyways, I'm bringing this up or I'm talking about this because I think I'm just baffled by the fact that like our bodies and our minds and everything kind of like exist in this state of contradiction sometimes, because yes, we're social species, which we talked about, community based. We need people. We don't need a homogeneity of opinions. We need a multitude, a diverse of opinions and all that fun stuff. But with that comes conflict, and with that comes all of these things and learning to set your boundaries, but it's difficult because you need to stay within the community, but we also need to keep boundaries. So it's like, what? The person or the thing, the being that programmed humans just made it so complicated, right? Like, but then I guess if we all thought the same way, we would all die off, right? I don't know.
Yeah, boundaries help us, if we return to the definition, boundaries help us access our needs. Right. So if your needs aren't being met in that community, that's a good indicator that, oh, I do need a like more firmer boundary practice in place. So many of us actually learn. Thank you for sharing what you just shared, by the way. I totally agree. I think many people can certainly relate to the practice of, you know, even though boundaries are a possibility, it's so hard to actually do it in practice. But I think in terms of you know, sort of this notion of setting boundaries, it can be incredibly challenging to do it in practice. And the truth is we're just not there collectively. Yeah. We don't have a collective conversation on the go at the moment about like even respecting boundaries, right? So there's a common occurrence when we set boundaries with other people, which is called boundary violations. When people violate our boundaries, it causes us to question, like, what do I do when I've said this many, many times and I've set the boundary, I've said the words, I've said it every which way, but people are still not respecting what I've said.
Yeah.
And so so we would call that a boundary violation, but more importantly, we also have a choice. And the choice is either you can reassert the boundary, so you can say it again, or you can move on. Though you only have two choices in that situation.
Oh my God.
You cannot make anybody change their mind. You cannot make anybody change how they feel. You cannot make anybody change how they behave unless they want to. And that is really hard to release for some people, is like the need to control. And I think that people do use boundaries as a way of just finding another new way to get control in a relationship.
I definitely. Right? And you can see it, even how you were spelling it out. It's almost like using this thing for bad, right? You can see it, how it's misused. So, okay, I just want to go back to when you were talking about the hypothetical about your client or the person you were talking about who was like, I don't want to go to the party. So they had the words for how to set their boundaries. So what do you do if you don't know what to say? You're just kind of feeling something and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so many people sort of back themselves a little bit into a corner. Which sort of says like, I've said all the things, I've said it every which way, or I don't even know what to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
Yeah.
Either way, but all these paths lead to, I'm not going to do anything then. I'm just going to like, you know, accept that this is the way this person is, or I'm just going to accept that this is like how life has to be, or right. I'm going to kind of stay in this constant state of resentment because no one's changing and I want everyone around me to change. Yeah. And so the reality is, you know, when we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do, we can default back to this sort of notion of a shared language or a shared script. And so for me, it's really helpful to get clear on what it is that I'm actually asking for and what it is that I actually need, right? So I like the script of I value blank, so I need blank, and I will do this by blank. It allows us to get really clear on like the needs that are associated and the action that I know I need to do. So something like, I value my free time, so I need to get really intentional in conversation with my partner. And I'm going to do this by asking them to leave the party early.
Okay.
So it's a way that we can stay really action focused, but also really address like some of the underlying needs, right? So right. Or something, it could even be something like, I value my own rest, so I need free time, and I will do this by having a conversation to leave the party early.
Right, right. Okay.
It depends what the need is, right? It depends what's underlying it.
So it could also be something like I value physical touch, so I need a hug after we have a disagreement, and I will do this by telling you that I need a hug after we need a disagreement. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So it could, another way could be, I value closeness and repair after a fight, so I need a hug in order to make it better, and I will do this by asking for one.
Yeah. It's interesting because some of them, like once you break it down, it feels almost like it's the base of the triangle, an inverted triangle. Like it feels really big. Like I value this big thing and then I need this thing, so it gets a little skinnier. And then I will do this by blank. And it's just like, oh, wait, I can do that. You know, like I can take that one step. And I don't know, that's kind of nice.
And so here's the trap that people fall into. And this is what I caution people against. Uh-oh. This is the trap. This is the trap door. The trap door.
Guarded by a three-headed dog.
Exactly. So oftentimes when we fall into boundary setting.
Yeah.
And even like when we kind of are starting to script some of our boundaries, we fall into this pattern of doing the first part, which is I need this, so therefore you have to do blank. And so it becomes a sort of practice of, and this is a very classic way that we bully people with our boundaries. We sort of say, I need this, so I need you to do this. And so you will make that better by changing this about yourself. But instead, boundaries are about ourselves. So I need this, so I will do blank. I need this, so this is what I'm going to do. This is my role in the problem. This is what I'm going to do.
Right. It's like that shared responsibility in a relationship, right? Like when we were talking about the Four Horsemen episode, I'm just talking in the aspect of a relationship that yeah. It's like you don't have to take full responsibility over the problem, assuming this is a problem, but you can take part of the responsibility. So you go to a party with your partner. Partner A wants to stay. Partner B is like really tired. They can say, I value rest. So I need to leave this party in an hour and I will do this by just leaving. And I'm telling you now that that's my plan and I'm leaving. Like you can stay though. Interesting. Interesting.
That's exactly it. And then at the end of, you know, any sort of boundary situation, there's a choice to be made. I'm going to respect the boundary or I'm going to violate it.
Mm.
And oftentimes a huge form of rupture, right, is boundary violation. And when people aren't following through on the commitment or they're not helping us meet our needs, right? So if partner A sort of said, yeah, I need to leave the partner early just because I need my rest because I have this big project tomorrow. And then the other partner's like, woohoo, party time. I don't even care. And I know I'm your ride home, but I want to stay. So therefore, my needs are more important, right? Yeah. Like that of course creates rupture and of course creates a challenge. And it would allow both those people to come away from that experience saying, but I was just setting a boundary, baby.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. Oof. I'm so glad you're being very forthcoming about the fact that this is not an easy peasy exact science, even though it's kind of being spelt out that way just for the sake of conversation. But in practice, you can very much see how, again, it can be used to bully people. And maybe not intentionally too, as well. You can kind of see how, because our feeling language is so poor, being able to know what our needs are is so poor that you can see how sometimes we accidentally default, or maybe we practically do it in order to assert control. So fucking interesting, Jake.
Yeah, it is. And so I want to leave people with some questions just to ask themselves, because you may be thinking to yourself, okay, so I know what boundaries are. I know some better ways to build boundaries. And I also still don't know if boundaries are for me or who I need boundaries with. And so the truth is, number one, you don't need boundaries with every single person you interact with. You don't need proactive boundaries with everybody.
Right.
But you may decide that you're going to be more intentional about how you show up in relationships with everyone. And I would recommend that people do that. And so here's some questions you can ask yourself. Just thinking to yourself right now as you're listening, who are people that you need boundaries with? Who's the first person that comes to mind when I say, I need more or better boundaries with blank?
Jacob.
Who's that person?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's probably with me. The second question is, what boundaries do I know I need to set with them? So maybe it is a material boundary, or maybe it is a quality of life boundary. Maybe it's just an emotional boundary. So what type of boundary do I think I need to set with them is question number two. And the last one is, what gets in my way of saying what I know I need to say? And that's a question that people just have to figure out for themselves. And maybe that can guide people towards their answer, right? It could just be the fear of disappointing someone. It could just be getting really trapped in the back and forth of the, well, I need this. Well, I need this. Well, I need this, right? And maybe that's hard.
Right.
But hopefully that gives some people some direction and some focus in terms of where to start and then where to kind of go. But at least you're asking the right questions when you get to the end and saying, oh, wow, I'm really afraid of letting someone down. Or, wow, I really realize like I have very porous boundaries.
Right. And interesting too, just maybe a final thought before we break to the final segment. I get the final word. No. is even like once you sort of get to the, That last question of what gets in my way of saying what I know I need to say, it's almost like it could be like an uncomfortable truth that then you can maybe use to sort of help communicate, like a lead with vulnerability situation, right? And maybe provide a little bit more clarity. I'm just thinking like abstract here, but I can imagine that. Yeah, this was super helpful, Jake. Thanks for outlining it.
You're welcome. And here's my final thought. Setting boundaries?
No, you don't get one. And it just starts playing.
That was a very firm and aggressive boundary.
That was a musical boundary.
Yeah, that was a musical. That was a tone boundary.
Yeah.
Tone police. This is my last point is this. It's that setting boundaries gives you permission and space for every time you say yes to be a choice.
Oh, put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's how I navigate the world. I'm like, okay, well, I have the freedom and choice here to say yes or no. And am I choosing it? Am I truly choosing it? And if I'm not choosing it, then I need a boundary.
Wow.
We'll just let that dead air space. That was a podcast moment right there. That was like, Simon and I just looked at each other like jaw on the floor, like, whoa, disbelief.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah.
Honestly, just let it sort of simmer. Okay, let's wrap this thing up like a tuna casserole. Do you wrap up a tuna casserole?
No.
Yes, when you put it in the fridge.
Or when you throw in the garbage because it's disgusting. Speaking of tuna casserole, I actually have a pork tenderloin in the oven right now, and I'm starting to smell it, which means dinner is almost ready for me, which means we got to wrap this up, which means we're in the final segment of our podcast. And so in this final little shooby-dooby-doo, we just want to wrap it up, you know, just have like, let's resurface. Let's bring some levity back to this. And what we're going to do is Jakey sent out a prompt on his Instagram, and he asked for folks to submit something I need right now, ... And so we have a plethora of submissions that we're just going to fire off rapid fire. And maybe some of these resonate with you. Maybe they don't. Either or, you should keep listening. Do you want to go first?
So good. And the reason why I love this prompt is because this is how we know what kind of boundaries we need to set, right? And so when we ask ourselves like what we need, you'll hear from people like what people need, and you may guess or wonder like what kind of boundaries they can set in order to get that need met. So the first one, this person says, okay, I need more patience. That sounds like a self boundary with yourself, of course.
This one says physical touch. Yeah, I'm pretty self-explanatory.
This one says, I need to know how to understand and learn to stand up against a harmful partner.
Oh my goodness.
That is a need.
That is a lot.
That is a need.
There's a lot of ones here that are like just
I know, I'm
sleep.
Noticing that too.
Like just
sleep, self-love, compassion, rest.
Rest, yeah, all of those things. Do you want to do one more each? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were gonna go. This one says hugs. I need someone and oh my gosh, we're gonna just pause that whole entire moment. This one says hugs and someone genuinely to ask how I'm doing. Oof, what a good need.
And this one says, right now, this moment, I'm good. And I like that. I like that because I think sometimes, not to discredit any of these needs that were submitted, but I think sometimes I do that too, where someone asks you like, how you doing? And you like search for the thing that you're missing. And I don't know, sometimes we don't take enough inventory of like, no, wait, I'm actually good right now.
Or love it.
And I mean it. Or I'm fine. And I mean it. Which is nice. I like that one. Cool. Well, those were great. That was a really good episode. I really like these like ones where we get to learn a little bit more. I feel like we get to go into your world, Jakey, and we get to have some really like frank conversations that are very realistic too as well, which I like. So if you enjoyed this podcast, of course you can always follow either of us at Directed by Simon for myself, or at MSW Jake for Jacob. And then if you're feeling flirty and fun, you can, of course, follow our Instagram page at Not a Therapy Podcast. So like, comment, subscribe, share with friends, share with an enemy. And we'll catch you on episode 32.
Years old.
We are like,
wow,
we're almost 40.